All right, man. So, what's going on, dude?
Not too much, not too much.
You threw a good idea at me the other day, and want you to kind of throw that out to our millions and millions here
Right, to
of our Steve Jolts fans.
the rabid Jeltzers out there. So, as we stand today, all of our teams are in, I don't want to say all in great shape because obviously, the Flyers are in a rebuilding phase. But the Eagles are doing really well. The Sixers have started out like a house on fire. Getting rid of James Harden really seems to have lit it underneath them.
Yeah.
Phillies are coming off a heartbreaking loss in the NLCS after going to the World Series the year before. So, three of the four teams are in really, really good spots. And honestly, the Flyers aren't in as terrible. Their record is not good at this point. They started off good and they kind of fell off. They're not good, but they're on the upswing, I'll say.
Right.
So what I started thinking about, and this was actually brought to mind by watching a highlight video of Brian Dawkins, and I started thinking, man, what if he was on the Eagles today? That would be insane. But then I started thinking about it, and I'm like, well, his game doesn't really translate right now to the way the league is, but what player could I take from Philly history for each of the four major sports, pluck them from their team, drop them in their prime on today's teams and have them be able to make an immediate and noticeable impact. And so that's kind of what brought this one up. Was just watching Dawk do his thing. And so that's where this one started. So
Yeah, I love this concept. Now, how do you want to do this? Do you want to start with our teams that are in the better position? And I say better position, meaning Eagles, Phillies interchangeably, Sixers, then Flyers, or do you want to go vice versa?
yeah, that's actually kind of how I had it written down on my sheet here. So I've got some stats for some of the players. I don't have stats for some of the other ones. It was just more,
Yeah, so no,
what.
I've got thoughts on all four. My Flyers is not anything great, but I do have some good ones for for the Sixers, Eagles, and Phillies. So however you want to go, let's do this.
All right, man. You want to kick it off? You want me to?
Go for it. You go first, then I'll chime in with my half-ass answer.
All right, so obviously for the Eagles, there's a couple easy answers there. You get Brian Dawkins, you get Reggie White, Jerome Brown, Chuck Bednarik. Like I said, I came up with this while watching Dawkins highlights, and I started thinking about really where these players would fit, how they would fit in. Reggie White, one of the best defensive ends of all time. We've got good edge rushers. Obviously, nobody as dominant as Reggie White. Nobody's going to be as dominant as him, but that's not a position of need right now. Jerome Brown, again, a game wrecker. But I feel like we have Jerome Brown reincarnated in Jalen Carter.
Right.
And between him and Jordan Davis, that's not really what we need. Chuck Bednarik, again, another defensive stalwart, but I feel like he's a guy that kind of like Dawkins, his play style wouldn't really fly in the NFL as it stands. So I went with Eric Allen.
I knew you were gonna go corner, and that's yeah.
And so I figure that a cornerback right now really is the biggest need for this team. Linebacker would be a close second. But so out of all of the cornerbacks that are in the Hall of Fame, Eric Allen has more total interceptions than 22 of them.
Yeah, which is
He's
insane.
only 15 have more than him. His final stat line as a player was 54 interceptions, 8 touchdowns, 6 Pro Bowls, 4 postseason interceptions, 5 seasons with 5 or more interceptions. In his career, he played in 216 out of a possible 224 games.
That's so crazy.
Right? So now, for comparison, as far as, you know, why he should be in the Hall of Fame, and I got this from Ruben Frank. He did an article on NBC Sports Philly, and Rondae Barber was inducted into the Hall of Fame recently. His career stat line, 47 interceptions, 8 touchdowns, 5 Pro Bowl nods, 2 postseason interceptions, and only 2 seasons with 5 or more interceptions. So not even close. Allen smokes him.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I look at the current Eagles defense, Eric Allen would make the defense so much better.
Yeah, no.
An incredible talent.
That your answer is, like, not shocking to me, because, like, in the top of my head, I was like, position of need is obviously corner. I mean, that's just obvious, you know, and that I think we all knew that going into the season, and it's very on the surface now. So, yeah, that's, like, the perfect answer. It really is. And that's,
I thought about going, like, Troy Vincent. I thought about going Asante Samuel. But ultimately, when I thought back to the best Eagles cornerback that I've ever seen play, I always come back to Eric Allen.
Okay, so I was thinking corner as well. Obviously, Eric Allen's name was top of my head. So Troy Vincent obviously would be my pick there. However, I'll switch gears here, because I think we both agree that Eric Allen would make this team, like, ultimately better right off the bat.
Yeah.
So I'm going to switch gears, and I'm going to look at another position of need in my mind that we haven't had anyone great within the last few years, but someone in his prime that I would love returning kicks, punts, whatever, is Darren Sproles. And I just want him, or somebody that's not, you know, just somebody electric, you know, that has that ability to give us that spark, 1 every 4 games. Let's run it back for a touchdown.
Yeah. No, I get that. And that's a good one, too. I mean, there's so many different ways we could have gone with this. We could have gone Brian Mitchell.
Yeah, I thought about him, too. Sproles to me was or even – you know, good old Vi. But Sproles to me, because, you know, of his recent tenure through the Super Bowl, you know, champion team. So it's like, I keep saying this with the Phillies, and it's like the Phillies offseason, they need to look at winners,
right?
People that win. And to me, Darren Sproles is a winner. So that's who I want on the team. You know, I want a winner. I want somebody in his prime, obviously, like this whole, you know, this whole thing goes, not Darren Sproles now.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing, too. Like, I mean, looking at the team, we could have gone linebacker. We could have gone, we could have gone Bill Berge, if you want to go way back. We could have gone Seth Joyner. We could have gone William Thomas. We could have gone Byron Evans, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There's a plethora of great linebackers. Jeremiah Trotter. Now, Trot, I feel like would be along the same lines as Dawkins at this point, where he's just a little too violent, him and Seth.
But right, you know, right.
Guys like Byron Evans and Willie T would have been fantastic. But you know, like I said, ultimately I went with Eric Allen, and so Darren Sproles is a great choice too, because, you know, look, nobody wants to give Britton Covey any respect as far as how, you know, him as a returner. He's a good returner.
He really is. Yeah, he is. But I'm not dumping on him, but
he's not a game breaker.
No, that's where I was going at with that in my head. He's not electric. He just, knock on wood, he doesn't screw up too much. And right. That's me. And he's just a solid player, but that's where it stops with him. It's not like watching and I think back of some of these guys that are just like, you know, video game players, like, man, it's like, oh yeah, every time I throw or I see a pass thrown to Tyreek Hill, it's like a video game, you know. Yeah. or you know those types of players. And I'm not expecting that from Britton at all. You know, I'm not expecting that. But I would love to have that because Darren Sproles was Tyreek Hill. Yeah. He was a video game player. Like he could make those crazy moves and cuts, and then he was fast as hell too. Like just run down the field. But no, that was kind of where I was at in my head with it. Because otherwise, it was like maybe just a better punter.
yeah. I mean,
give me Sean Landetta.
Yeah. Can we get? Hey, no. Just go back a couple years when we had Cameron Johnston.
Exactly. Like yeah, anybody, you know. All right. So. Did the Eagles? Let's. I'm really curious to see what your pick is for the Phillies here.
So this is another one where I there were so many different ways I was going to go with this one. You know, obviously Mike Schmidt comes up,
right?
Steve Carlton, Cole Hamels, Roy Halladay, Robin Roberts, like helping the rotation. Ultimately, I started thinking Greg Luzinski. Gary Maddux, before I settled on my selection, center fielder, Richie Ashburn.
Ooh, nice.
And I like so, it. You know, you and I have been talking about outfield, off pod, all off season. Well, shit, since you know, the playoffs are still going on. And I started thinking about it. I'm like, well, you know, this dude is a career 308 hitter. Six-time All-Star, two-time National League batting champion, led the league in stolen bases in 1948, had 2,574 career hits, and was an incredible fielder. We put him in center. Mm-hmm. Marsh goes to left. Sign Ohtani for right.
Mm.
Boom.
Yeah, boom. That'd be awesome.
That's it.
That would be awesome.
You know, like... Yeah, obviously we got to get some starting pitching, but I just, you know, and then you could drop him. Look, Schwarber in the leadoff position has been great, right? Put Richie Ashburn in the leadoff position.
Yeah.
Guaranteed base runner.
Yeah. No, that's – dude, I love it. I love it because – so let's look up real quick. Because Richie Ashburn's, you know, penultimate, you know – Hall of Famer for the Philadelphia Phillies. I got to meet him in the mid-90s. I love this. I just love that answer, man. The guy was a career 300 hitter, 308. Was not a power hitter.
No. But, he only had like 7 home runs career, I think.
29. But the guy got on base. And got on base so much that he led the league, what, 4 times,
yeah,
in on base percentage. So that's what the Phillies need. They need base runners, and I, dude, I love that outfield. By the way, my goodness, I kind of feel like having that outfield in MLB The Show. That's right? It's ridiculous.
Just saying.
It's funny because my answer, I thought about that too. Because initially, in my head, I was like Steve Carlton, especially if Nola's gone. We need a top of the rotation guy, and I love Wheeler, and I love Ranger, and I think we're getting some good work out of Christopher Sanchez, and so I think Carlton would be the stabilizer there, especially if Nola's gone,
right?
But I'm not going to take the cheap way out on that one. I'm going to go with somebody that, and I hate this because it would kick someone off the team, but. I'm going to put Pete Rose at third base because the guy just gets on base all the time. Yeah. I mean, he's the all-time hits leader. Yeah. So
dude, I can't argue with it.
And he played third base for the Phillies quite a bit back in the late 70s. So I believe to a point of, let's see, I was looking at it. It's weird. I was surprised on how much he played third base for the Phillies. I was looking at his fielding record because I was actually shocked how much it was. He played not a lot. I'm sorry. He played 5 games at third base for the 79 Phillies, which was a lot to me considering that Mike Schmidt was our third baseman. But
yeah.
But it was enough for me to say, okay, look, boom, you're gone. I love Mike Schmidt. but I want a guy that gets on base and a guy that hustles. And could you imagine having Bryce and Pete Rose on the same team?
Jesus. And see, now playing off of what I had said, so now we've got Pete Rose. Bohm is expendable. We trade Bohm to the Angels and we get Ohtani. Or wait, no, Ohtani's a free agent. So.
He's free agent, so we don't have to trade him. Bohm can be a good. He can just be a good cheerleader in the clubhouse.
We trade Turner.
No, no. Here, the in out here. Okay, so I know this isn't really part of the thing, but this is what kind of sucks because that's the part you got to think about with this. It's like who's expendable,
right?
You know, and yeah, you mess around with the outfield there, which makes sense. I mean, that's probably your best way to do it. But like, obviously, you can't touch Harper, and you're not going to touch Stott, and you're not going to touch Turner and JT and these other guys. You're just not going to do it. And I've in my head, if anyone moves any recent ties, it's probably going to be Bohm, I would think. Still young enough at a desirable position. Whether he does or not, I don't know. But I just, in my head, that's kind of where it's at. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Pete Rose, man. Maybe one of these days I'll let his ass in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, maybe. I think he's going to be a. He's going to be a after he dies. And the reason I say that is because at that point, he can stop making stupid ass decisions.
Yeah. Like, good point.
Because that's his problem, man. I feel like every time they get close to, like, all right, we'll let you in, then he gropes a 15 year old. And then it's like, all right, well, maybe we're not going to let you in, bud.
Yeah.
That's my problem with Pete Rose is he can't get out of his own fucking way.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not wrong. All right. So we're saving the Flyers for last. Obviously, we started at the top and working our way down. But we got to say something, man. The Philadelphia 76ers have been on fire.
Oh, hell yeah.
Good riddance, James Harden. I don't care what you're doing these days, because we don't need you.
Right.
And I'm not a basketball guy. I watch college ball sometimes, but man, the Sixers are just killing it. And it's been fun. I watched a little bit the other night of the Celtics game, cause I knew that'd be a good one. And yeah, man, they, it was a close game at the end, but yeah, no, it was good. They, I tell you what, man, it's been fun.
Yeah. No, they're
Embiid, Maxey, and yeah, you just have some solid guys there. So I have a cheap answer for this one. So I'm just gonna spill the beans here, man. I got to just give me Dr. J.
You know, that's who I said.
I'm sorry, but like we got Maxey at points. So I was like, I can't just slot him in for AI. That ain't right. I love Allen Iverson. I really would like his spark, but I don't know that he's needed. But my God, man, throw Dr. J out there.
Yeah.
Good yeah. Lord.
I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be a student of the game. Basketball is the sport out of the major four that I know the least about. The only four players I felt comfortable saying here would have been Dr. J, Charles Barkley, AI, maybe Wilt Chamberlain.
Oh, but yeah.
Today, we have Embiid.
Yeah.
And Wilt, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm going with Dr. J.
Yeah.
You add him to this team. And look, in the NBA, he averaged 22 points a game, right? He averaged 3.9 assists. He averaged 1.5 blocks. He was never a big defensive player. Offensively is where he really went off. And he played a total of, let's see, he played 5 seasons in the ABA, and he played 11 seasons with the Sixers. So his NBA career, like I said, 22, if you add in total, he was at 24.2 points per game. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. He wasn't.
I'll take that every day.
Yeah. He wasn't like a bona fide, you know, he's not LeBron. He's not Michael Jordan, you know, by number.
Right.
You know, at all. But yeah, you go through his numbers there with ABA and NBA combined, and he's at 24-2, 8.5 rebounds, 4 assists, like you said. And you're talking about a Hall of Famer, 16-time All-Star, NBA champ, 2-time ABA champ, you know, 4-time MVP. I mean, this guy was legit. Right. And he is a Philadelphia icon, at least in basketball, almost second to none. Because really, I mean, you know, Sixers and world titles aren't necessarily synonymous with each other.
Mm-mm.
And really the only time it is with that man right there. So he's a winner. And as I've said to you on and off pod before, is that's what Philly needs is winners. And yeah, all day long.
Yeah.
Either him or Charles Shackelford.
Right. Yeah, Charles Shackelford. I'd rather just, you know, punch myself in the dick repeatedly and shout Jumanji.
The other guy I thought about was Manute Bol.
Well, of course. Who? What other Sixers have ever had a song written about him?
And that's a sad thing. It's like you end up thinking about other guys that you could try to fit in, and he's the only one that makes sense. Now, Will Chamberlain, I do like.
Yeah.
But with Embiid in there, it's kind of
– right. Eh. Kind of pointless. And then, you know, Dikembe Mutombo for his defense, but that's it.
Yeah.
You know, you're not getting – he's not putting up points for you every night.
No.
You know, there was a time where he would, but towards the end of his career – he just – well, you know what? Let's see. I'm going to look him up on Basketball Reference because I remember him being like a huge – you know, his rookie card was one that people were clamoring for, and I ended up grabbing one.
Man, I tried typing in Cookie Monster on Basketball Reference, and they come up.
So let's look at what his highest average points per game – came in his rookie year, 16.6 points per game.
His career, he averaged more rebounds than points per game. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. He was definitely a defensive player. Like that was the whole deal. And his career high in points ever was 39. His career high in rebounds in a game was 31. So, you know, he's...
You know what's crazy too, and this is the thing with him, I don't know, man. This could be a whole nother conversation for another day, and we don't talk Sixers on here ever. But that guy only even played with the Sixers for a season and like a third, and yet he's synonymous with some of the best Sixers of all time.
Yeah,
he played 26 games in 2001. Or excuse me, 2000-2001 season, after starting the season with Atlanta. And then he played that whole 2001 and 2002, which was a phenomenal season for the Sixers. But that was it. He was done. And yet he is known, like, you know, look, as far as your casual Philly 76ers fans that are our age, dude, he's got to be a top 10 player that comes to someone's mind.
Yeah,
gotta be.
Here's something that's incredibly strange. He played from when he was 25 until when he was 42. He never attempted a three-pointer.
They probably didn't let him.
Yeah, I mean I can't imagine they did, but he never attempted a three-pointer unless he. Well.
No, he did. He did. No, he did twice.
Two.
He did two. That's it. He attempted 2 3-pointers early in his career, one in his third year in the league, and then it was both times with Denver.
Yeah,
that's it.
I see that, but I don't see, like, the 3-point attempt is still showing 0.0.
No, Go down to totals.
Oh, per scroll game.
Down. Yeah, scroll down.
Oh, that's his per game. Okay.
Yeah. So two in the regular season. Oh, he actually tried one. Oh, he did try a three-pointer.
Yeah.
With the Sixers in the playoffs. That's right.
Yeah. So, yeah. So he tried, one in the playoffs with the Sixers.
And two in his career. And he played he played, I guess, 1,200 games of basketball. And, three. Yeah. It's awesome.
Jesus Christ.
He basically attempted one three-pointer every 400 games.
That's enough for me.
All right. Last but not least, and you got to start us off here because you're going to be the brains on this one, and I'm just going to be the comedic cleanup because I really don't have anything for the Philadelphia Flyers. You're the hockey guy.
Hmm? You said gritty, didn't you?
Damn it. I'm not supposed to steal my answer.
That would be awesome.
Think about that. How awesome that would be.
Fucking look, if I turn my head and I see gritty skating towards me, I'm scared.
I'm getting off the ice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Open net 100 to nothing every game.
Yeah. So this is another situation where there's a lot of players that I really feel like could help the team, but it's an issue of eras again.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Flyers had their glory years, when they were the best team in the league, when they were their best, it was a different game. You know, really anybody from the Broad Street Bullies era, aside from Bernie Parent, would probably be kicked out of the league.
Yeah, no kidding. Right?
John LeClair would probably be good. Keith Primo, Rod Brind'Amour, Eric Desjardins, Mark Recchi would probably be good. Danny Briere, if he played his entire career in this era, would probably be a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, there's still just one player that is unlike any other that I've ever seen in my entire life suit up for the Flyers. And unfortunately, there was a time period where I didn't, what's the word I'm looking for here? I didn't recognize what I was seeing and the situation that he was put into. And so I didn't appreciate him as much. But at the end of the day, the player that could make the biggest impact on this team would be Eric Lindros. The perfect combination of size, speed, scoring. You know, he would be the perfect player for this team to build around. You know, he's Ovechkin.
That was exactly what I was going to say, to be honest with you. I know the Flyers' needs right now are not defensively per se, and I mean, it could be, but not goaltending. So it's got to be center. It's got to be a winger. It's got to be somebody front and center, offensive-minded. Lindros was the only one that came to mind for me. You mentioned other names too. Honestly, if I'm just throwing someone out there, John LeClair really sticks in my head. But no, Lindros for me too. I just don't know. Kind of like the Dr. J.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds funny because I know Eric Lindros doesn't necessarily get the same level of respect, to me anyway,
right,
that a Dr. J does. But in this case, all day long, Eric.
I mean, and that's the horrible thing is between his parents and Bobby Clark not seeing eye to eye, it really screwed over his legacy in Philly for a long time. And luckily, we're finally starting to see that cloud kind of lift. And he's been around for some different things that the team has done, and they've honored him and kind of really seemed not they, – they've kind of mended fences a little bit. And mm-hmm. I like to see that because I was guilty of it. I was – when his stuff was going on, you know – I was young and just a rabid fan of the team and not really thinking that they could do anything wrong or that they would do anything wrong. And so, he's a sissy. He's this, he's that. He's not doing what – he's not being a good teammate. He's not being a good team player. There were other things in play. There were other things going on. He really got a raw deal. And the fact that – you know, I mean, shit, during the Eastern Conference Finals when Scott Stevens essentially ended his Flyers career. He comes back and then gets hit in the head and gets a concussion and he's done during these finals. And then the Devils end up running over us the rest of the way. Guy got a raw deal, but while he was on top of his game, give me a better player.
I know. You're not wrong. I mean, I'll be honest with you, like, because I'm thinking of like Flyers needs offensively. Like, I thought of him, and I know it's going to sound funny, but it counts. I thought of Jaromír.
No, because we're doing in their prime,
right? So it's like, I know we didn't necessarily have Jaromír in his prime, but of course that dude was so good for so long that I guess that's even debatable. But no, I mean, I don't know who else you really do other than Eric on that. I really don't. You remember when he came in, man, he was like the golden goose,
right?
You know, and you know, it's funny thinking about back to the Phillies, kind of what you said. I know it's same vein, but I was really a stickler for third base. And as much as I wanted to say slap Mike Schmidt there, part of me wanted to slap Scott Rolen there.
Oh, yeah. He's one that I've gotten over the Lindros thing and recognized his talent. Scotty Rolen, if I'm playing a baseball game that he's in, I'm still fucking pegging him. I'm beating the shit out of him every time he comes to bat. Him and JD Drew. I will never forget either one of them.
Yeah, JD Drew and whatever.
I'm throwing at their heads every time.